Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster of Summer 2020, an entire booklet full of articles about sickness this time around. It's a quarterly that can be sent to your house, by the way, just to write to these people at the Chapel Library at chapel@mountzion.org. That's a ministry out of Pensacola, Florida. And the speaker today is Philip Bennett Power. You may not know that name. I'm sure I did not. Philip Bennett Power was an Anglican clergyman. He lived from 1822 to 1899. The article is entitled God's Comfort in Sickness. We must keep close to thoughts of God. We must meet Satan's dark thoughts and suggestions about God with bright thoughts about Him. For if we do not, He will always be able to bring God up terribly against us. However we may divert our minds, the evil one will always keep saying, "But ah, what about God? All is not right with Him. And what is more, all never can be." But if we've gone to God and have well-assured thoughts of Him, then God can never come before us as a dark shadow, but as light. We shall know Him as a Father indeed. And if Satan comes to vex us with thoughts about Him, we shall say, "We know who He is, our Father who is in heaven." I consider then God's character as my great help to believing Him to be a God of comfort. And first of all, from the mere fact of His being generous, we may judge that He's very likely to be a God of comfort. Everywhere in Scripture, He's represented to us as a large-hearted God. He is one that hath no pleasure in the death of a sinner, but would rather that he turned from his iniquity and lived. He says, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." How much more generous God is than man, we have remarkably set before us in what he says to the prophet Jeremiah. "Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? And she has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me." Others would have said, "Begone." But God said, "Return." That was generosity indeed. In the first verse of that chapter, God shows that man's way of treating a person under similar circumstances would be very different. But then he is God and not man. And his ways and thoughts are not like our ways and thoughts. His generosity is altogether beyond ours. Happening to open the concordance this moment, I came upon five texts, one after another, where God is spoken of as being earnestly asked with success. After that, God was entreated for the land. The Lord was entreated for the land. The plague was stayed. They cried, and he was entreated of them. Manasseh prayed, and he was entreated of him. We besought our God, and he was entreated of us. God is long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and in truth. And in the parable of the prodigal son, generous dealing is shown to the very full. The father receives the wretched sinner just as he is, and reproaching him not, restores him to favor, and clothes him in the best robe, and kills for him the fatted calf. Now, if I need anything, it's a great encouragement to me in going to ask for it that I know I will deal with a generous person. I feel he will be predisposed to help me, to deal liberally with me, and to do me good. And let this thought comfort you. There's not one miserly word about God in all the Bible. You'll be sure to get from him simply because he is what he is, whatever he has promised to bestow. And if God be generous, then he'll be self-communicative. That is, he'll be always outputting good. God is not content with simply having his goodness and keeping it to himself. He spared not his only Son, but freely gave him up for all of us. And how shall he not with him, also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. If we had to go to a person for anything who was actually wanting to give away the very things we needed, what wonderful spirit it would put into us to go to him for what we required. Now, can God have all that would make us happy and comfortable and never bestow a taste on us? Certainly not. Therefore, if you lack, he will communicate himself to you. And what he communicates must be himself, must be like himself, and therefore it must be good. It will be the giving of himself to you as you are and with your particular need. He'll pour his streams into all your hollow places, all your dry wells, on your parched lands and empty watercourses. Where you are driest and most in need is the place where he will most surely come. Then we may take great comfort from considering that God stands to us in the relation of a father, and forasmuch as he must from his very nature do everything in the best and most perfect manner, and to the fullest extent also, we may be sure he will be to us better than ever any earthly father has been to a son. We have a father in heaven, and he will not come short in the fulfillment of even one of the functions of a parent. Comfort yourself then with the thought that the one with whom you have to do is in every way one whose very relationship to you secures your getting what you need. If your father will not comfort you, who will? He is the most likely person to get comfort from, therefore the proper person to go to for it. Because he is a father, you may expect all tender comfort. It is through the tender mercy of our God that the day spring from on high hath visited us. James tells us that the Lord is very pitiful and tender, of tender mercy. The command to be kind one to another, to be tender-hearted, and to forgive one another, it's all grounded on such things in God, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, if instead of thus looking at God and at all that is to spring forth from him, because he is what he is, we look at ourselves and at all that we deserve, then we shall have no comfort at all. Comfort will never travel to us by this latter path. We are to look at ourselves expecting to find all emptiness and not wanting to make the matter one whit better than it is. We must not be surprised, startled, or downhearted at realizing this emptiness. It simply arises from our being what we are, but all the discoveries of God will be of fullness, and in putting the two together must lie our comfort. Bathe your thoughts then in God. Be rich in God. Poor in yourselves, but rich in him. You see what he is. All his nature, all his sayings, all his doings argue comfort. Not comfort for the unrepentant, the independent, and those who think they have no need, but for all who wish to be humble, in need, and to be supplied from a source outside themselves. Say then thus in your communings with yourselves, who knows so well what God is as himself? All that he has told me leads toward comfort. I will not give God a bad character by expecting only gloom from him. I will not take Satan's opinion about God. What interest can he have but to malign him? I will not take my own deceitful, suspicious, and ignorant heart's speculation about him. For from my poor fallen nature, they're sure to be warped. I will throw myself upon God as he has revealed himself. I will keep my eyes fixed on him, and I will shut them to everything else. I will keep to what he has revealed. I can only be what I am, empty, and he can only be what he is, the supplier of that emptiness. Out of his fullness, then, shall I receive. And because he is what he is, I shall have grace to help in every time of need. That's from his book called The Sick Man's Comfort Book. Philip Bennett Power is his name. Thank you for being here today. And the Lord willing, next time you hear from me, we'll be doing the Spurgeon autobiography again for the 3 days of next week. And then we'll do the book of Jude a couple days. I hope that these things are beneficial to you. That was the point. We have the works of many great men of God on this site. I hope that you'll go looking for them. North Korea audios by the hundreds. We have a Quran study, a Muhammad study, a Through the Bible course twice. We have commentaries. We have a lot of books in the store now. There are 50 books. Most of the stuff that's on those books is stuff you've heard in audio form right here on Sermon Audio if you've been with me for 20 years. And they're still there. You can go back and looking for the audio. Now the written form is there for you to read also. If you're a Kindle person, you can get all these books for $1 each. The others are very easily priced. If you want to know a little bit more about me personally, go to my Facebook account. And CriesFromAmongUs.com is a blog that I've written, and I write just about every day, dealing with the cries that rise from the church to the ears of God. Some of the things also right here on Sermon Audio. At YouTube, you would type in Bob from Hackberry House. There are some videos there, too. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.